Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sunday and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Today is March 4th, 2012, and I'm Donna Riley, also known as the Etiquette Lady. Today's topic is interview and workplace etiquette. WSB News Director and radio host Condice Presley interviewed me on her talk show titled Perspective. We discussed key ingredients for seeking and securing employment, building successful working relationships, and much more. So this is a previously recorded show, so please hold all phone calls, take notes, lay back, and enjoy the show.
Our guest on the program is Donna Paige Riley. She is an image and etiquette expert. She's a speaker. She's an author. She's been with us on the program before, and I invited her to come back. Her book is What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? Key Ingredients for How We Can All Build Those Successful Workplace Professional Relationships. And Donna Paige Riley, want to say hello again, and thank you and welcome back to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me back. It's such a pleasure to be here. For some of our listeners who may not be familiar with you and your work, again, tell us a little bit more about what it is that you do and how you came to become this image and etiquette expert.
Okay, basically, I am an image and etiquette expert, a coach. And basically what I do is I coach people on how to be comfortable and confident in any setting. So just to make sure that you can put your best foot forward and you are as confident as you would like to be. So that's basically the service I provide.
Talk to us about the difference between confidence and arrogance, because as someone who is a hiring manager, you can be put off sometimes by what an applicant might perceive as their confidence, but it's really not coming across that way.
Yes, there is a major difference between confident and arrogant. Confidence is basically knowing, here again, what to do, when to do it, how to act, how to react. And arrogance is, you know everything, just period. You probably even know more than the prospective employer. How about that? So just making sure that you exude confidence and not being too overly confident. A lot of times people might mix up being overly confident with being arrogant. But, of course, being confident is great, and being humble. Humble actually associates itself with confidence. There are many young people who are graduating from college this month. They are stepping out into the world in a difficult economy and will be doing a number of interviews, they hope, for that very first job. What are some tips that you would provide them or their parents and their loved ones to make sure that they are as prepared as possible so that they can secure that first opportunity on that first interview?
Okay, absolutely. First of all, oftentimes, if this is your first, say, dive out into the workplace, it can be a little scary. It can be just, you know, you're not sure exactly what to do. But first of all, what you want to make sure that you do is you put together a very nice resume. And your resume should show your experience as well as your educational background. So you want to make sure that you do that. You want to make sure, excuse me, that the position that you are seeking will match some of your educational background or your experience. That is very, very important. You don't want to just kind of pick a job, maybe your dream job that you would like to have, but you have no educational background or any type of job experience that match that. So you want to be careful with that as well. But you want to, even say with your resume, you want to make sure that your resume has no typos on it. And oftentimes thinking, well, this is my first resume, does it really have to be perfect? Well, it really should, especially with spell check. on all of our computer systems. So you want to make sure that it's nice and crisp and it's to the point. And if you're not quite sure how to design your resume, there's so many programs on the computer that you can actually look at to give you mock samples in addition to their resume writing services. So it's crucial. And by this being your first time as a student or grad, it is expected only to be one page. So that's fine. Don't be concerned about whether or not it's too short, because it's really not too short if this indeed is your first time into the full-time workplace. And we still expect to provide a cover letter in addition to the resume. And should that each cover letter be customized for each job for which you are applying? Absolutely. There's no such thing as a general cover letter. And a lot of times what happens is if you're looking at two or three different jobs, you say, well, I already designed my cover letter, so this should be fine. But no, it must mention that particular job that you are seeking, and then you want to mention your qualifications that are related to that particular position. So you must have, each one must be customized according to the job that you are seeking. In this computer and digital age, is it appropriate now to email a cover letter and your resume to a prospective employer, or should we still use the traditional snail mail way? There are many companies that prefer you now to email your resume and cover letter, and the reason for that is because of the paper trail. They're trying to receive as less paper as possible. But, however, unless this particular company specifies that only submit via email, then it would be okay to go ahead and send them a copy, snail mail, or perhaps fax a copy as well. But the key is, find out what that particular organization, what their preference is. Finding a job, as easy as we would like for it to be, really is a job in itself. Absolutely. So it is expected of the applicant to spend that additional time to customize a cover letter for each employer he or she is writing to make sure that there are no typos in the resume. The applicant gets a call back. We would like to talk to you. What are the next steps for that applicant? First of all, congratulations that your resume sold you. So now it's time to either go in for a face-to-face interview or even a phone screen. And a lot of times there are many applicants who are not even familiar with a phone screen.
Tell us what that is.
A phone screen basically is an interview over the phone, and they basically will ask several different questions related to your resume. They want to see how you communicate. They want to make sure that this is actually your information. So they screen. It's a phone screen. It's a process that they use now where they don't have to bring all 40 candidates in. What they can do is they can select maybe 40 candidates, and then they can set up phone screens. And then if you pass the phone screen and they feel comfortable and confident that you are confident in the position that you are applying for, then generally they will invite you to come in for a face-to-face interview. And that, of course, is exactly what you want. So, yes, you must do your research. You must work hard because, as Kanda said, that it is so important, even before you get the job working, you have to work to get the job. So that is very important.
So a candidate, whether it's a first-time job candidate or someone who has been downsized as a result of the economy and is trying to get back into the workforce, that candidate should not be put off or insulted by the callback is for the telephone interview. instead of an in-person interview.
Right, not at all. Do not be turned off of anything. Be excited because you've actually gone to the next step.
So how does somebody prepare for a phone screen? Because you may not know what to expect.
Sure. What you want to do is you want to pretend as though this is a face-to-face interview. So you want to set up your room like it's an office, like you're in the office. In front of you, you want to make sure you have a copy of your resume. You want to make sure you have a copy of your cover letter. And you want to have a note sheet because you also want to be able to take notes from this interview. And you don't want to have any background noises. Please turn off the television, turn off the radio, and also you want to turn off your phone or put your phone on vibrate. So the phone screen is just as important as interviewing face-to-face. What impact are some of those social networking sites that are out there, things like MySpace and Facebook and Twitter? Most people connect in order to know people because that might be an opportunity, but sometimes those can be as hurtful as they are helpful. Yes, social networking sites. You want to be very, very careful on what you have on your webpage. And the reason I say that is because when you are seeking employment, especially, you want to make sure everything is as professional as you and your resume. And so you're wanting to make sure that you have a professional as well as a personal image. Okay, so professional image positive and personal image positive, because you really, you can't really separate the two because you're one and the same person. And most employers, they do visit these sites so they can find out about you. So if your name is on there, you can Google or Yahoo or whatever, and you can find you. So if you are applying, for example, for an administrative assistant position, and then your prospective employer, they pull up your website and you have some lewd pictures on there, for an example, that is just not a good sign. So remember, when you're seeking employment especially, you want to make sure that what you have in cyberspace meets what you're sending out. Very important. Because employers now really can get a 360 view of the person and the candidate that you are. That is so true. So please remember that. Talk to us a little bit about fit in an organization. You can have the right cover letter. You can have the right resume. You can pass the screener. You can get the in-person interview. And while there are certain skills that an employer may be looking for, and you may have all of those skills, there are still those certain intangibles that can be often difficult to quantify, but that will be equally as important to the employer to determine if you are going to be a fit in the organization. Absolutely. Part of your research, before even sending out your first resume, you want to research that particular organization. You want to find out as much as you can about that organization. You can even call. A lot of times people don't realize you can go ahead and call and speak with someone in the HR department or a manager and just tell them what you're doing is you're just doing a little research and you're wanting to find out information about the culture, perhaps, of that particular organization. And so you definitely want to do that. And, of course, that will kind of give you an inkling as to whether or not there may be a fit for you. Because, for example, if you have, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a little later, if you have 5 or 6 tattoos and you think you've seen your dream job and you've submitted a resume, and this is an organization that absolutely you cannot have tattoos, well, that would not be a good fit. So find out as much as you can, and that's part of doing your research before you even reach out to any of the organizations. When we talk about appearance, what are some recommendations for dress for the first interview? You get the in-person interview, and you're trying to make that positive first impression. Sure, your first impression is your lasting impression. And conservative, always think conservative. No matter which type of position you're trying to secure, think conservative. And of course, with thinking conservative, you have your basic colors. You have navy, you have black, you have brown. Those are basic conservative colors. You want to make sure that you have, preferably put on a suit or a blazer with a pair of slacks. For ladies, it's good to have on a suit as well. Doesn't have to be an expensive suit. A lot of times people think, oh, wow, I really don't have the proper interview attire. As long as it matches, it's clean, it's very, very neatly pressed, and you want to thinking conservative again as far as accessorizing, less is more. So that means having a small pair of earrings. You want to not have a whole lot of makeup on. Please skip the stilettos and wear those to the club instead. So you want to have a nice conservative pump, a closed-end shoe, and make sure that they're nicely polished as well. And these are little things that a lot of people forget about because they're so concerned about, well, my resume looks good, and so I got a call. So now everything should be fine. But your appearance and your image, you never get a second chance to make a first great impression. Is society now more accepting? And what is society, by that I mean organizations, when we talk about presentation and appearance, of, when you talk a little bit about body art, then you want to think about piercings and even hairstyle. Thinking about African Americans, some women wear their hair natural, some women wear braids, some men wear dreads. Even in other cultures, there's unique haircuts, unique hair colors. What about things like that? That's something else that you want to find out during your research, because some companies, depending on which company or organization it is, they're flexible, and they will allow you to have your hair braided if it's very neatly done. Some just don't like it. So before even getting upset after you get to the interview and find out that that was not a part of their organizational culture, you won't be upset and you will not have wasted your time. So again, as part of your research, you want to find out, and you can certainly contact HR and just let them know you're doing a little research, and they'll be impressed about that because they know that you're doing your homework. And you want to find out, you know, is it okay to wear brighter colors? Is it okay to have piercings? What if I have a tattoo? If it is not covered, is that going to be okay? So the research is critical. Let's throw another curveball to an applicant. Let's say you get the meeting. You've done well in the first interview, and there's a second callback. Now, the second callback is a luncheon callback. Mm-hmm. How do you prepare for an interview and a meal? Very, very good question. First of all, we all know how to eat,
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about business over lunch. And I tell people all the time when they say, oh, I have a luncheon interview. Wow, this is going to be great. I'm going to order this and blah, 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 blah. Remember that you have not been invited for a luncheon or a dinner interview just so they can treat you to a meal. They're checking out your social skills. So what you want to make sure is that, number one, you don't order anything that's going to be complicated. Don't order the crab. Don't order, you know, maybe French fries and pour a lot of ketchup on it, things like that. You want to have something simple because they want to see if you're going to talk with your mouth full. They want to see what your table manners are like. Do you sit with your elbows on the table? They want to know, for example, if you're representing their particular company and you're out with some clients, how are you going to conduct yourself? If you are going to snack, and this may seem like things that are common sense, but I often say that common sense is not so common anymore. So just be real careful about making sure that even when they're asking you a question, don't answer the question if your mouth is full. Chew your food, swallow it, just be comfortable and relaxed, and then answer the question. So they are checking you out, and be careful when you're taking notes. It's okay to take notes at this type of meeting, but have a smaller notebook in front of you. Don't bring your huge, you know, large day runner, and you sit that on the table, and it's larger than your plate. So you don't want to do that. So those are just little tips that you want to remember. And remember, they're not just treating you to a meal. Would it impress the employer if at the end of the meal, since they've treated me to lunch or dinner, if I offered to tip the server? Absolutely. That would be very good etiquette for you to offer to tip. Sometimes they may allow you to do that. Sometimes they may say, well, no, don't worry about it. So if you've offered and they decline, it's okay. Did you ever offer to pay? Actually, I have. Offered to tip. But the standard etiquette, when someone invites you out for lunch or dinner, then they're responsible for paying for that. And, of course, everybody doesn't necessarily know that, so you want to always be prepared. And let me say something really quickly about the menu. Please, I know this is a treat for you. Never, ever order the most expensive thing on the menu because someone else is paying for it. Okay, so make sure you remember that. But I always wanted to try that before, and I could never afford it. So, no, that is not the right
exactly.
thing. What about alcohol? Alcohol. Avoid alcohol, please. Even if you are a prospective employer or the manager or whoever you're dining with, even if they are drinking, which generally they do not, you do want to just say no thank you. Even if you want it, say no thank you. You've been offered the position. You go to work. Now you can be yourself, right or wrong. Absolutely. And that's when it all comes out. The real you. So they will be able to determine whether you are the person on the resume or if perhaps you are someone else. So here again, you want to make sure that you are just being yourself. And that's why it's so important to be just comfortable and confident, knowing that you're not trying to perpetrate, if you will, and try to be someone else, because they will always see it. And by the way, congratulations for being offered that position. That's great. And you see that all the hard work really did pay off.
So now you're in the organization. Let's say it's an organization that is thinking high tech. Those business environments are often very relaxed. You're not expected to wear a suit or a coat and tie or business attire every day. Perhaps it's casual 5 days a week, or maybe it's something business 4 days a week, and then there's a casual Friday. What are the mistakes you want to make sure that employee does not make once he or she is in the organization and really has to make sure they fit in?
Sure. First of all, I want to say never be afraid to communicate with HR. That's why they're there, to make sure that you're comfortable and you are indeed fitting in. Now, of course, they're going to tell you what the particular dress code is, and you do want to adhere to that dress code. Saying something about, say, casual Friday, say Monday through Thursday, you may be corporate, and there is a casual Friday. There's a big misunderstanding in a lot of organizations about casual Friday. Casual Friday is not going out to the beach attire. It really isn't. You still want to be professional because you're still in an office setting. Something for casual Friday, maybe a pair of khaki slacks, a polo shirt, making sure that you're neat in appearance. So tucking your shirt in. And anytime, once again, that you may be in a situation where you're not quite sure, talk to your manager about it. And you can also watch your managers on how they dress. But certainly never be afraid to go and talk to them, because it's better for you to go to ask them questions than for them to come to you and say, you need to go home because your appearance today is just not good. So you always want to be comfortable in knowing that you can speak with an HR person. I have, as a matter of fact, my co-host, Denise Harding, with my Blog Talk show. She's an HR manager for Lowe's, and she always talks about, you know, having to talk to people about their dress code. She covers that thoroughly in orientations, but sometimes people just, they seem to feel comfortable after maybe they've been there a few months and they feel that they're gelling and everything is great, then they become slack. So do not allow yourself to become slack. You want to keep the same assertiveness that you had trying to secure the job. You want to maintain that. And, again, just being the best you at all times. And it's better to be overdressed, by the way, than underdressed. What is the one piece of advice that you would have for any candidate who is out seeking employment today in our current economic climate when there aren't as many jobs and everything is so highly competitive? You want to be diligent in your search. Again, once again, you want to make sure that you do your research. You want to make sure that in everything that you're doing, you have the proper image. You're putting your best foot forward. Because what you want to do is you want to stand out. Look at what is executive etiquette anyway. Donna Page Riley has been our guest. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for these tips. I'm certain that they're going to help a lot of people out there who are working to find employment in these times. Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure, and thank you.
Perspectives is a public affairs program produced for News Talk 750 WSB, Speak 98.5 FM, and 97.1 The River. If there's a perspective you'd like to hear us explore, write Perspective, 1601 West Peachtree Street, Atlanta, Georgia, 30309. Or you can call me at 404-897-7500.
You've been listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway? The Talk Show, where our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time when we'll discuss another exciting topic.